What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. And joining us on the telephone right now is Leon Hsu, Foreign Minister for the Kingdom of Hawaii. And Leon, it's been way too long since we've had you on the show. Bring us up to date on what's going on with the sovereignty of the nation of Hawaii.
Yes, well, aloha, Michael. Good to be back again, and aloha to all your listeners. I am right now sitting in Honolulu, Hawaii, and I am about ready to embark on some new trips. But just to bring you up to date, some of you don't know, but the Hawaiian Kingdom is in the process of being restored as a sovereign nation. And we have been working on this project for quite a long time, but in recent years, and particularly in recent months, we've made quite a bit of progress. And so we are right now, on the verge of, I've been operating as the Minister of Foreign Affairs, which means I've been interacting and keeping the foreign community abreast of what's going on. And it's been very, very encouraging because we're making a lot of progress, particularly at the UN, as well as with individual countries that we're speaking to.
All right. Well, let's do a pullback here for our listeners who may not understand what the issue is really all about. And it has to do with the manner by which Hawaii was acquired by the United States in violation not only of U.S. law, but international treaties that were binding at the time, and basically led to the overthrow by threat of military force of the last queen of Hawaii, Liliuokalani, and the imposition of a government that was fighting for annexation to the U.S. And amazingly enough, the people who were behind this, all they wanted to do was get rid of the sugar tariff, because sugar was one of the major crops of Hawaii at the time. The United States was one of their biggest customers. And they figured, well, if we can overthrow the government and become part of the United States, we will not pay the tariff and we'll all become insanely rich. And all of this dates back to 1893, when all of this was taking place. More recently, though, during the Clinton administration, Bill Clinton actually signed a public law, 103-150, that acknowledged the illegality of the annexation and recognized that the Hawaiian people had never actually surrendered their sovereignty. And that, of course, is the foundation for the indigenous Hawaiians saying, we're still a nation, we're still a people. So if you want to sort of start at that foundation and give us more recent history.
Thank you very much. Now, that's a very, very nice backup. What we really realize, however, is this is not an indigenous issue. It's an issue of indigenous, of national sovereignty. And so, which means including the indigenous people, as well as those that were not indigenous, but were nationals of the Hawaiian Kingdom. Anyway, we've been doing in the last few years is clarifying this, that this is not an indigenous movement, per se, and it's also not a movement to start a new country or to secede from the U.S. It actually is a movement to restore that which already was, and technically, according to international law, continues to be, and that is the sovereign kingdom of the Hawaiian Islands. And so what we have been doing, of course, is trying to get over the misconceptions and the misdirection that had been deliberately placed in the way by the United States to make it appear as if there was a lawful acquisition, which there wasn't. There was no treaty of annexation or anything like that. So what we're doing right now, particularly in the mood of the international community over the last 60, 70 years of decolonization, although we're not using that process, but the international community is quite familiar now with the idea of a country that had been overrun by another, but that country's, the original country, still has the right to express its self-determination, which means it gets to choose whether or not it wants to be independent or whether it wants to be subjected to another country. And in 1959, the United States reported to the General Assembly of the United Nations that the Hawaiian people had voted to become subjected as a sub-state of the United States, which was, it appeared to be that on the surface, but actually it was that did not occur because of inconsistencies and irregularities in the process of the vote. So in 1959, the United States claimed that Hawaii became a state of the United States, and the UN went along with that, as well as all the other countries. But what we're pointing out now is that that was in error, and we are still here as a sovereign nation, and we are slowly building the populace or the body of citizens in the Hawaiian kingdom. So that's what we're about doing right now. We're moving this on two fronts, one on the international level to clarify what our status actually is, and secondly, on the local level to raise up the nation. And we're actually succeeding quite well in both of those, to the point where I believe there's going to be some kind of a major breakthrough within the next couple of years, as far as a breakthrough meaning the U.S. acknowledging that they are here unlawfully, and that we need to begin a transition period to remove the U.S. and its toys, and particularly its war machine, out of the Hawaiian kingdom.
Well, certainly. And first of all, I want to apologize for saying it was an indigenous issue, because you're right, it isn't. And the sovereignty and independence of the Kingdom of Hawaii is recognized. I mean, you know, Claire and I, certainly, if we're still here, we'd love to be citizens of the Kingdom of Hawaii. But obviously, we're seeing a period of intense U.S. militarism, but we're also seeing the potential mm-hmm. for a major upheaval on the mainland, which might make things easier for that breakthrough moment that you're talking about. Now, as we see the globalists keep trying to bring us all under a one-world government, we're starting to see nations around the world really dig in their heels and push back with an intense nationalist fervor. We're hearing about the Calexit movement in California. Yes. We're seeing the European Union looks like they're about to break apart. Catalonia wants to break away from Spain. Mm-hmm. Crimea, of course, broke away from Ukraine. The Russians did not steal it. That's being the big lie there. So obviously, I'm sure that you're looking at all of this information. And before I ask you to give us your analysis about that, I want to share a little bit about you with our listeners that I did not get to at the introduction. Leon Hsu has actually been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. And you actually mm-hmm. did win the Sergio de Mello Peace Award from Brazil. I believe that that's yes. your bona fides.
Yes, yes, and that's for work that I've been doing, actually not just with Hawaii, but with other places like West Papua. And,
yes.
And basically we share the same objectives, and that is for individual countries to be able to assert who they are and to form their own government and act in an independent way from the colonial or administrative powers that they have been under. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well,
yes. Uh-huh.
I was going to say, obviously, there are a lot of vested interests who do not want to see this go forward. There's been a lot of unjustified fear-mongering going on that if the sovereignty of the Kingdom of Hawaii is restored, that all non-Hawaiians are going to get kicked out. This is absolute nonsense, of course. The reality is, as we saw in Crimea, they're going to change the flags and a few other things, mm-hmm. and life will go on as it did before. When I was first talking about this issue at my website and radio show years ago, I was getting all these emails saying, well, how's the Kingdom of Hawaii going to compensate the United States for all these military facilities that were built all over the island? And, of course, my answer is, well, the United States did not build those facilities for the benefit of Hawaii. They built them for the benefit of the United States. And if a burglar steals your mm-hmm. car, and while he's got it, he installs a new stereo system, then he gets caught and arrested and sent to jail, are you obligated to compensate the car thief for the stereo? And the answer, of course not. You know, it's just something that's going to be there. But there is a lively debate about this. Again, it all comes down to the morality of nations. And it's very easy to take a moral stand when it goes in your favor. But your true measure of whether you are a person of principles is when the morality goes against you. And in this case, obviously, if we recognize the moral crime committed by the government of the United States of America and these plantation owners, you have to realize that, yes, Hawaii is a sovereign nation with its own rights, and the United States is occupying it.
Yes, yes, and that's as simply put as possible. And the solutions are actually quite simple as well, because, you know, when you mentioned the changing of the flag and things like that, when the U.S. took over, or let's say when the revolutionists took over, or the people over to our queen took over, they maintained everything in place, all of the Hawaiian Kingdom structures and mechanisms and infrastructure were all still in place, and they just changed it over to a different management, so to speak. And then when they changed it into a Republic of Hawaii, which lasted a few years, that was still the Hawaiian Kingdom being operated by the Republic of Hawaii. And then when the U.S., so-called annex Hawaii, which they didn't, but they called it that, 1898. Again, it was still the Hawaiian Kingdom that was the structure, or the infrastructure, as well as the character, was still the Hawaiian Kingdom. In fact, they maintained the flag of the Hawaiian Kingdom all through this, and today they call it the state flag, but mm-hmm. it's still the Hawaiian Kingdom flag. And they maintain the motto as well as the state anthem, or the national anthem of the Hawaiian Kingdom. But most of all, they maintained all the laws of the Hawaiian Kingdom and carried them forward, and then made changes along the way to suit the American system. But everything is based on the Hawaiian Kingdom and the groundwork that was all laid by the Hawaiian Kingdom. So we actually have a very short distance to go to flip things over. Basically, I look at it as a change of management, you know, a takeover from one management to another, and you can change it over. And then, of course, then the management philosophy sets in as a different philosophy of managing, but it's still the same country, it's still the same resources and the same people.
Well, you know, one of the other counter arguments I've always heard is, oh, well, you're going to go back to being a kingdom. I mean, aren't kings kind of out of place? And, you know, we've got to be a democracy. And most people don't understand Hawaii's last two kings were elected to that office.
Correct.
And, mm-hmm. yeah, it weren't hereditary. It's not like Kim Jong-un, and I wish he would shut up his mouth and everything. No, Hawaii's last two kings were elected to that office. They had to campaign. They went out the railroads around there. One of the cars that they campaigned on is still out there at the Railway Museum. And Hawaii was actually very advanced at the time. If you ever get out here, and obviously I'm going to recommend that you come on out here, if you ever visit Iolani mm-hmm. Palace, it had working electricity and telephones before the White House did. So
indoor plumbing,
and the Hawaiian royal family was very close with British royalty, and it was seen as a modern civilized nation at the time that the Queen was overthrown.
Yes, yes, and in fact, the those that overthrew the kingdom had to go to great ends to try to convince others that we were a backward, a savage country.
Yes.
But anyway, yeah. But yes, we were a very advanced, progressive nation, and in fact, not only progressive in the advancements like indoor plumbing or electricity, but also in the area of diplomatic relations with other nations. So Hawaii was actually seen as an equal to any other country like Great Britain and France, and they acknowledged that.
Yes.
And of course, that's where our monarchies were strong, because at that time, all of Europe was monarchical, and King Kalakaua, as well as Kamehameha V, both really extended and created a relationship with these countries through the monarchies. And by the way, many of the European nations still are monarchies. You look
yes.
at the Netherlands, and look at the Netherlands, but also at Norway and Sweden and the Danes, So they're all still kings, but of course the United Kingdom, the one of the most obvious. So having a monarchy does not preclude being a modern state.
Absolutely. Okay, well, is there anything else you want to share with our listeners today? I mean, I'd love to keep you here for the entire hour, but you know, I know you've got to get on out and, you know, go out and minister foreigns or something. And but again, before I let you go, Claire and I would very much like to see you in person again and just catch up on what's going on. This issue of sovereignty is something that we touch on regularly on my radio show and on the website. We're huge, huge supporters. We'd like to see it happen again because it's a chance to right an historic wrong.
That's correct. And we'd like to see it happen also, not only for ourselves, but because we feel Hawaii and the message that Hawaii has, which is aloha, is vital to the world today. We think we can contribute as a nation to the rest of the world and be able to really speak into the vision of where the world is going in the future. You know, there was a voyage that just recently ended of Hokulea, around the world voyage, and this is taking an ancient technology and ancient systems and putting it to use to travel around the world. But what was more important was the message, which was of peace and of taking care of our planet. Very basic message that spoke to many, many people. And this voyage was just an amazing thing and just ended about a month ago.
Yes.
At Magic Island with this huge reception of Hawaiians as well as everybody else. And the world was looking in. So we're looking at the ability that Hawaii has really to impact the world. We have great favor in the eyes of the world, despite the fact that people think that we're part of the United States. They actually don't register us as U.S. Citizens or, you know, as being an actual U.S. They see us as a separate nation and as one that has a very desirable, not just desirable climate, but a desirable demeanor, and people really respond to that. So this spirit of aloha and all that the world actually needs now, to particularly to confront some of the big problems that are facing the world. And speaking of which, so one of the areas that I'm working feverishly on and have been for the last 6 months is this issue of North Korea and what's going on with that.
Okay.
So what we're trying to do is to interject. The Hawaiian Kingdom is trying to interject into the discussion and saying, you know, we're looking at this wrong. We should be looking at the issues of peace rather than how do we stop wars. We should be looking at promoting how do we make friends and get along and the things that we have in common and the things that we can lift each other up on. So we are embarking on a peace initiative. Regarding not just North Korea, but for all these issues that are going on, but North Korea being the most immediate concern right now, and particularly since it concerns us here in Hawaii because inadvertently or purposefully, however you look at it, the United States military presence has made Hawaii into a large target and almost like unavoidable target for any country that gets into conflict with the United States. And, you know, right now they're talking about North Korea, but, you know, the same concern existed with Russia and with China during the Cold War. You know, we were seen as the Russians had missiles pointed toward us. The Chinese had missiles pointed toward us.
And they got big warheads on those. Leon, I'm sorry to do this. We have to take a three-minute break for commercials. We'll come right back to you, and I want to hear more about what you're up to these days. We'll be right back.
Okay, very good.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women, children alike.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And for our affiliates who are just now rejoining our show, we are talking with Leon Hsu, the foreign minister of the Kingdom of Hawaii, talking about the restoration of Hawaii's sovereignty, which has never ceased existing. And even the U.S. government admits that Hawaii never ceased to be a sovereign, independent nation. And Leon is busy going around the world trying to get other countries to recognize this fact. And slowly, there's a change in the view of Hawaii by the rest of the world. So you were talking about this peace plan of trying to find out to change the paradigm. Instead of how do we avoid war, how do we find peace? And I think most ordinary people left to themselves are going to be peaceful. And what we see is wars that are generated by a very, very few people, just like the plantation owners who overthrew the government of Hawaii. It was a very small number of people compared to the whole population, but they wanted to change the government for their own personal ends, and they did use the threat of military force to accomplish it. So as long as war is profitable to certain individuals, I think we're going to have a hard time being rid of it. But every voice that's out there for peace is obviously going to be helping our cause. So this is a very short segment. We only have a couple of minutes before the next commercial break. It's very lopsided here.
All right.
What else have you been doing?
Well, actually, we're thinking much more about how do we present ourselves to the world, that we are a friendly and an open country, et cetera. And one of the things that we're working on right now is to get an Olympic committee going to become registered as a participant in the Olympics. Just something very simple, just a sports thing.
That and actually, bring back the memories of Duke. I'm always messing up his last name.
Kahanamoku.
And little trivia on the side. When I was working on Lost, we actually got to meet Rabbit. He came up and visited our set just shortly before he passed away. So that was kind of cool.
I think
we should have an Olympic team. We've had Olympic gold-winning athletes come from Hawaii.
Many of them.
Yes.
About 30 of them that I can count. And of course, in the 2020 Olympics coming up in Tokyo, surfing is being introduced as a sport. And so it's a natural time for us to just jump in there and say, this is our sport. And so here we are as a country to participate in the Olympic Games. So we're working on that, and it's looking good. It's looking very good that we'll be able to do that. And again, it's not a political statement, but one of a statement that this nation does exist, and we're here, and we're friendly, and we want to participate with the rest of the world in world events. So that's one of the other things. But there are quite a few other layers going on, and some of the work that I'm doing requires me to travel quite intensively. So during the month of, like, September, I'll be gone the entire month on the road at various places like Geneva and New York, and actually even Seoul, Korea, in pursuit of just promoting as well as participating in world peacemaking and in telling people our story. So I appreciate your interest, and I appreciate it, and I do think we need to get together. So let's try to make that happen.
All right. What is your website where people can get more information?
Okay. The best website is Hawaiian Kingdom, one word, .net.
All right. Well, I'm certainly going to post a link to that from What Really Happened. And is there another one you said?
Okay, very good. Well, there is another one called HawaiianKingdom.org, which is another person's website, but he also is posting quite a few articles there that are very, very helpful in describing our situation and describing some of the progress being made.
Okay, well, we're coming up on one more commercial break. It's going to be 4 minutes long, and then when we come on back, anything that you want to say to wrap up with our listeners, the microphone is yours for as long as you want it. And
all right,
so,
thank you.
Yeah, this is an important issue. And again, at the bottom is this is an opportunity to right a great historical wrong committed by the government of the United States. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge $20, $30, $40, $50, if possible, $100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
BrainMag is an amazing nutraceutical technology that crosses the blood-brain barrier because it is a magnesium L-threonate and magnesium malate and glycinate. Magnesium L-threonate, when it crosses the blood-brain barrier, protects the brain from oxidative stress, and in knockout mice was able to protect against the memory loss and Alzheimer's. It dramatically increases cognitive health, improves sleep quality, stabilizes the mood, and works wonderfully with Calm Mind as a combination drink supplement. Order NutraMedical's Brain Mag at 888-212-8871 or NutraMedical, NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutraMedical, NutriMedical.com. This is the best nutraceutical for calming your brain, protecting memory and brain function, and prevention of Alzheimer's.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we're still talking with Leon Hsu, the foreign minister for the Kingdom of Hawaii. And I did put up links to those other two websites for the Kingdom of Hawaii, along with my own article on the history of Hawaii's annexation. And Leon, before I let you take the microphone back, there is a lot of public interest in this. And just the other day, there was a new YouTube video. I mean, we all know about the Hawaii's Last Queen and these other documentaries have been done. But somebody actually did a video, Honest Government Advert, Visit Hawaii. It's very, very funny. I'm going to email you the URL. But it only came out like a month or so ago, 2 months ago. So there is current interest and awareness of what's going on over there. So, Leon, you can take the microphone and just say what you want to say to our listeners for as long as you want to, okay?
Okay. By the way, I love that video. I got picked up on it the first day it came out,
okay.
And it's just great. Yeah, where I've been encouraging some of our people, that let's put up more videos like that. Because that
yes.
particular one was done in Australia. And you know, we need to just continue to do that, which brings us to a very good point. One of the areas that we have identified where we really need to become much more involved in is in the media. And in
yes.
reaching out to more people and telling them about our situation, not just telling them, but just conveying to them in many different ways. So most of the people are thinking in terms of, you know, lectures, like university type lectures or TED Talks and things like that. But I think that short videos, like the one that was put up by that organization, is the key, in that we just start to engage people with the idea that mm-hmm. Hawaii is still a sovereign nation. We don't have to instruct them or do everything. They can go to websites for that. But just to start the discussion going and just to get their interest piqued. And we're finding that short things like that really are the answers, particularly as we're trying to reach out globally. And then there are, of course, some emergencies and crises like Mauna Kea. When that happened, the biggest, that also got quite a bit of coverage on social media, or actually spread through social media. So when the two guys are notified that there was some activity going on, the trucks were moving up to the top of the mountain to build this telescope. They took off and they went up there. They got up before the trucks did. and by the end of the day, there were hundreds of people up there because these guys were tweeting and they were Facebooking their friends and saying, look, we're trying to block this right now. And after 2 months, there still were thousands of people who were involved and many people connected all over the world. So we have the opportunity here to spread our message, that's one of the greatest things about that is that the world was able to see a protest that was peaceful and was very, very respectful of both sides. When the Department of Land and Natural Resources, the police force came to arrest them, they sat and they talked, or they stood and they talked, and they shared genealogies, they shared where they came from, and then at the end they said, okay, you have to do your job, we have to do our job, we understand that this will all work out peacefully, and that's what happened. So I think that this is a great witness of how could have been a terrible confrontation turned out to be something that was peaceful ways to approach a problem, even though the problem has not been solved, but the idea is that we're still going to handle this like family and like, this kind of dispute that we do not have to go to war over. And so so we are working on this particular thing right now. But as far as the media is concerned, I appreciate the kind of coverage we're getting from you as well as some of the other people who are out there on the airwaves, and also we're trying to be much more responsible to continue our presence in social media.
Well, you're absolutely right. Social media is going to drive this, I'm going to have an offline discussion with you about that very topic because obviously that's an area in which I have some experience and resources that mm-hmm. we could bring to bear on that.
Yes, great. Great.
Okay, well, anything else, or should we let you go and go on out and shake the planet?
Yes. Well, one of the things that we're working on is there is a more serious part of this, which is the work that I'm doing with the United Nations or at the United Nations. We've been attending or participating at the United Nations functions for about 40 years now, and slowly establishing our voice there to the point where now people are listening, particularly since over the years what we've been telling them has played out to be true, and so our credibility has risen quite a bit, and the U.S.'s credibility has lowered quite a bit. So
yes.
The two of these things working together are actually benefiting our position. And so we are on the verge of having the United Nations actually start to, review what the U.S. has done with regard to Hawaii and to weigh in. So the United Nations as a body doesn't really do this yet. It has to be initiated by countries, states. We have been successful in finding some of the states to actually start the ball rolling on these for us. So this September will be a major milestone. We've had several breakthroughs in the past, but this September we actually hope to have in the UN a measure that they will begin an investigation on what happened in Hawaii. So what really happened? That's what we're looking for.
Cheap plug. Okay. Well, Leon, thank you for bringing us all up to date. You're doing absolutely amazing work. You deserve that Peace Award. You should have won the Nobel Peace Prize. Not that it's really that respected anymore after Al Gore got done with it, but still, it's nice to have that recognition and that street cred, as it were. So keep me informed about what's going on, and any time that you can get back on the radio show, we'd be happy to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. Mahalo. And
Mahalo.
Get back in touch with me about getting together with you and your wife.
Absolutely. We'll do that one offline here. Thanks an awful lot.
Right.
Okay. That has been Leon. Aloha. That's been Leon Hsu. He is the foreign minister for the Kingdom of Hawaii and basically is traveling around the world to all these other countries, building the case, building the awareness that the Kingdom of Hawaii never ceased existence, that when the plantation owners gave Hawaii to the United States, it wasn't theirs to give. The annexation by the United States and the ouster of Liliuokalani were illegal under both American law and international law. Because remember, war had already broken out between the U.S. and Spain. And so the Hague Treaty applied regarding neutral states occupied by military forces. So anyway, we're going to let Leon go and do his good work. And yeah, we're going to have him back here again very soon because it's a very, very important issue. One more thing I want to follow up on. When he's talking about the protest up on by the observatories on the Big Island, and obviously I'm in favor of building the telescope there because it will be a crown jewel and among all those wonderful observatories that are up there. But he's absolutely right. Here in Hawaii, we don't see the kind of confrontations like you see in Charlottesville. And over the years, I have gone down with the camcorder and shot the protest marches for the war in Iraq and various other issues. Everybody always gets along, even when they disagree. It's all still, you know, ohana out there. And that is one of the reasons why we are so different from the American mainland. All right, I understand we have a caller waiting on the line, Panfilo. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, from Houston. What is on your mind today?
Well, you speak of empire right now.
Yes.
You know, which is basically, where all our money is going to. The strength is basically, most of our strength is overseas. Our money is being spent overseas, you know. And here at home, you know, Homeland Security is prosecuting, you know, patriots, tea parties, and any dissenting voice.
Yes.
And worst of all, the NCAA, which has shredded our constitutional, you know, laws by using military spending, you know, as an authorization to be able to pass it. You know, I mean, it's just so much that's happening that I'm observing. And I've taken a few steps to try to do things on the local level, but it is an enormous task.
Yeah, but there's so many millions of Americans out there who are realizing something's gone horribly wrong with this country. And again, all we have to do is sit down, pull back, refuse to fill out the paperwork, refuse to get, just de-link from all of it. And it is actually very fragile, in part because of the economic weaknesses and the fact that so much of our wealth has been spent in foreign countries on all these wars. And when you go back and you study the history of the collapse of the former Soviet Union, you see that that was a major factor. The Soviet Union overspent itself on the military, didn't have enough wealth left over to take care of their country, and that was one of the things that led to their collapse. And the U.S. government is on that same self-destructive path.
Yeah, you're right. About the only thing I can see that's really worse is like the use of the NDAA to down in 2012, the NDAA in 2012 authorized them to basically kill Americans even on American soil. They started off by assassinating that family up in Yemen, but I truly believe they proceeded in doing everything over here, including maybe even Seth Rich. I mean, that's what I believe.
I'm in agreement. The suicide story just doesn't wash. I mean, he's still, the botched robbery story just doesn't wash. He still had his wallet, his cell phone, all of that other stuff here. But, you know, we had that situation up by the wildlife refuge where the FBI just gunned down an American citizen. And they tried to sell it saying, oh, he was a threat, he was this, he was that, and all the witnesses are saying, no, as he stepped out of the car, he was shot from a distance with a rifle. So anyway, all right, I'm going to let you go here because we're running out of time and we've got callers and I still have got a ton of news to get through here. So we're going to switch over here to Brandon in San Francisco. Brandon, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Just calling in regards to this divide and conquer agenda. The way the local news here is portraying that incident in Charlottesville, and what they're doing now is they're actually promoting the next gathering of so-called alt-right or white power, whatever they're labeling Trump supporters now. They literally are telling the locations and the dates and times. There's several coming up next week, and it's just truly they're promoting it like a rock concert here under the guise of, ooh, be careful, blah, blah, blah. It's just funny that the full agenda is coming together. And I simply want to say that the only thing I think to do to combat this is to find common ground with people that are brainwashed and controlled through the mainstream media, because I think we're all anti-war. We're all anti wasting our tax dollars, you know. And I want to encourage people of color or marginalized, so-called marginalized folks, to speak out if they support Trump or we do have common ground, because that's the only thing I believe that can combat this well-orchestrated divide-and-conquer strategy, common ground. And I think we have a bunch of common ground. So that's
yeah,
it.
But the issue is that these people who are showing up to these rallies and committing the acts of violence are being paid to do that. This is a job for them. And if Agreed. Ordinary citizens sit at home, they'll just hire more people to get it on camera. And if they're really pushing it that hard, it looks like they may be trying to lay the groundwork for some kind of nationwide race riot leading to a declaration of a national emergency and suspension of the Constitution. And then the party will really be all over. And they've been trying to do this in the past, but it looks like this time they're definitely putting this on afterburner.
Right. You know, what's funny is all the war that we've been in, they've never once promoted an anti-war rally, and that speaks volumes to me. You know, you'd hear about something and you'd go, gee, how did I miss that? It's right up my alley. I want to protest these illegal wars. So on the flip side now, they're promoting their, you know, go down there and beat up a Trump supporter or whatever you want to call it. Hey, thanks, Mike.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. I remember, and again, this goes back to when the war in Iraq was just cranking up, and I was out there making videos of the anti-war protest, and a truck pulls up from the local NBC affiliate, and they get out. They walk right through the anti-war demonstration without even slowing down to go over and shoot video of the pro-war rally that was being sponsored by Clear Channel, and they were giving out free hot dogs and soft drinks and, you know, all the rest of it. And then these NBC people just, you know, closed up their cameras, turned around, walked right through us again without stopping, got in their van and left. So, yeah, it's all being engineered. All right, Alex in San Antonio, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. I think you just touched on the aspect that I wanted to touch upon, which was if you go back and you analyze the WikiLeaks Clinton emails and the strategies that the DNC had, infiltrating the conservative movement was part of what was in their agenda, so as to create the environment that you just mentioned, so that FEMA could come out and take over the continuity of government after five or six cities are enthralled in violent protests. And I find it funny how no one is making mention of this, even though it was clearly delineated in their game plan for how they were going to deal with the conservative movement, or specifically what they're denominating the alt-right, which is basically just people who are sick and tired of being lied to.
Yeah, it is a very real possibility. And right now, as I look at, you know, I'm getting all these reports where they're literally promoting and selling more of these rallies to tear down statues and the rest of it. They're selling a violent confrontation on the streets of American cities, and it does look like they're trying to set the stage to have a declaration of a national emergency and martial law and suspend what remains of our constitutional rights. And I hate to be a doomsayer, but I can't think of another reason for them to be doing what they're doing right now.
Well, we know that you know, there were, ever since Hillary got caught saying that they were going to be hanging from nooses, we can pretty much figure out that, you know, the rats in Congress, they're all in cahoots to get this going so that they don't pay the ultimate price, which is going to jail.
I agree with you on that one. Alex, we're going to have to let you go. We got to take a break for commercials. Back with the last segment of our program today after these few words.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Hey there. Quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well, now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And don't bother calling in because we're going to close the phone lines. We're going to take one more phone call from Kathy in Missouri. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. I just wanted to mention that they don't have to pay anyone to do anything today. I'm not saying they weren't paid, but when I had a landlord up in Massachusetts, he told me one day, he said, you know what, you're too good. You're like a goody two-shoes. He said, we got rid of the good people like you in this town a long time ago, and I know firsthand because I was part of it. He said, you got to get out of here. He said, you're too good. You're too ethical. And then, you know, just stuff like that. And basically, he said...
Well, you know, what you're talking about there...
Just let me finish it. He said, you could get somebody murdered for less than a carton of cigarettes 10 years ago. All right, so in my social work, I found that I knew the director of one of the largest homeless shelters in Massachusetts. And he said, we can't keep the, you know, the predators from... You know, they can give them a bottle of whiskey or nothing, just the power to have, you know, some kind of important feeling role. They could get these vulnerable people to do just about anything for nothing. So that's my personal experience, and I just wanted to add it to the discussion.
Okay, well, there's always going to be a category of people. Stalin used to call them the useful idiots, who can be riled up around a slogan and go on out and do the dirty work, and they're not really thinking in depth about... Mm-hmm. what it is they're doing. It's like all these people who are out here hacking the servers of the independent media, and they think it's cool and it's fun, and you know, they're a spy, and they go to bed at night watching old James Bond movies and abusing themselves, and they don't really think about just how serious all of this is, because it isn't a game. They're messing around with our country. Anyway, Kathy, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go, and I'm going to try and get some news in here before the end of the program. Apparently, scientists have discovered a previously unknown field of volcanoes under the Arctic ice, a total of 91. Remember what I used to say? Until they know how many volcanoes and thermal vents are on the floor of the ocean, they can't make any statements about humans warming the ocean. 91 volcanoes? That's a lot of volcanoes. They're not all active, but some of them are. And that's where you're getting the warming of the ocean. But the reality is that global temperatures are now cooler than when Al Gore won that Nobel Prize for the global warming PowerPoint presentation. And we've got the media is out here talking about all these heat waves, and they don't talk about places that are already seeing snow and ice. And once again, we have a publicity seeker, a guy by the name of Penn Haddow. He's a British explorer, and he and his crew have set sail in a sailboat from Alaska, and their goal is to be the first people ever to sail all the way to the North Pole to prove the Arctic ice has melted. Well, if it has, it's probably those 91 volcanoes. But remember the last two times people tried to do these stunts and they got locked in the ice? I mean, we're basically coming up on the autumn. It's already starting to cool out there. Meanwhile, out in California, the U.S. Geological Survey is warning there are 8 volcanoes in that state that need to have a little more careful surveillance, observation, because they could start erupting at any time. All right, there's the music. Time for me to get on out of here. I got to go do a Jim Goddard show up in Vancouver. We'll be back here tomorrow on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Please stay tuned for John Stadmiller's program. There's going to be a lot of interesting things talked about there. Take what you learn here from the radio show and the website. Share them with everybody that you know. We have to continue this pushback in these very dark and dangerous times against a government that has clearly gone off the rails. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. at aroutfitting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.